The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. I wonder how many of you may have had opportunity to sit on a veranda and to watch a storm roll in, hear the thunder, watch the lightning. And then maybe you've asked yourself, I wonder what causes lightning? Or maybe you've stood beside the sea and you've watched the waves roll in and crash on the shore. And then you've asked yourself, I wonder what causes waves? Well, if you'd ever done anything like that, if you've ever asked yourself that type of question, then really you've been asking yourself, but why is it so? Now, for some of you, as soon as I said that, you'd be like, I remember that. That brings back some memories. Because that phrase was actually made quite famous back in the day. And it almost became, well, it really was a catchphrase. And it was created that way by a man named Professor Julius Sumner Miller. That name may ring a few bells. He was an American physicist. He lectured at Sydney University. That wasn't his claim to fame, but what was that he hosted a TV show on the ABC called Why Is It So? It was a science show. It aired between 1963 and 1986. Ran for over 20 years, would you believe? Now, on that show, the professor would do experiments. He'd explain those. He'd explain the results. He'd explain the scientific principles behind it all. And he was noted as asking somewhere through those episodes, he would ask that question, but why is it so? Because he was trying to get his viewers to dig deeper than what they were seeing. He'd get a result from an experiment, and instead of just looking at the result, he was trying to encourage them to, by asking, but why is it so? Not just what you see, but why is it so? Dig deeper. Now, a few weeks ago, I was doing a devotion, and I came across a verse that made me pause and ask that very question, but why is it so? And that verse was 2 Peter 3:18. And it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, when I initially read this verse, I think my eye kind of skipped from grow to knowledge to Jesus, because I think that was my path of least resistance. Because if I ask you, how do we grow in the knowledge of Jesus? I'm sure you'd soon say answers like, well, read the Bible, you know, do a Bible course, go to a Christian school, go to church, stay awake in the sermon. I wasn't looking at anyone, you know, I like to rest in the Lord as much as the next person. However, my eye was soon taken back to the start of the verse and realised it says, but grow in the grace of Jesus. So I had a pause and asked myself, but why is it so? What does that actually mean, to grow in the grace of Jesus? Because you see, I think we have like a standard way of thinking about grace, and Ephesians 2:8 is, a bit of a good summary of that. And Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So grace really is getting something that we don't deserve to get, isn't it? So God offers us that gift of salvation through faith. Do we deserve it? Of course not. Because of the sin in our life, we deserve condemnation and judgment. And yet God offers that gift to us anyway. So that's God offering us, showing us his grace. And I think that's kind of the standard way of thinking about grace. That's not a bad way. That is what grace is. But see, Peter seems to put a little bit of a different slant on what grace really means, because he's saying growing in grace. So that's kind of what I'd like to explore this morning, is what does that mean? Take a leaf out of the professor's book, ask, but why is it so? What does that mean? So one of the things that, you know, you always should do, or so I've been told, is that when you're looking at a verse, you're trying to decipher the meaning of it, then you need to also place it within its proper context. So you have to look at the text before it and after it, etc. So when I was doing that, the first thing that I really noticed was the odd way that it starts. Now, of course, Peter didn't write to verse numbers, did he? But in this particular case, you know, that just happens to be where the passage starts. And he starts it with a but. Quite unusual. Now, if we go back to Professor Miller, his well-known phrase would often start with a but as well. So he would do an experiment, get a result, then he would ask, but why is it so? In other words, he was saying, here's the result, but why did we get that result? So he's referring back to something that he'd already done. So if we apply that to verse 18, with Peter starting this passage off with a but, then we've got to kind of say, well, Peter's probably referring to something that's happened previously. Verse 18 is in reference to something he'd been writing about before. So let's have a look at that. Let's see what he was actually writing about. We only have to go back a little ways, back to verse 15, reading through to verse 17, and we'll find out. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. So Peter's been writing about a problem in the church. I know, shock, horror, imagine a problem in the church, right? But what the problem was, people were coming into the church. They were misunderstanding what Paul was saying, and, well, I don't know about you, but I've been there. Some of Paul's teachings are pretty deep, aren't they? Pretty easy to misunderstand. They were taking other scriptures as well. They were twisting and distorting them, and then they were portraying what they understood as the truth. That's a false teacher, right? So Peter obviously thought that was pretty bad, but the real danger that he went on to talk about was that people would begin to believe this false teaching. And in believing that false teaching, they would be carried away from what the NIV version says, fall from your secure position. So he was afraid that they'd be taken away from their secure position to this false position. Because that firm foundation would have been established by the apostles. They would have been established by Peter and Paul and all the others. So that's what he was really concerned about. And, you know, when I started to look at this problem, I suddenly realised, well, that problem's kind of reflected in today's world, isn't it? Because all you have to do is go online, look at some videos, you know, listen to a podcast, and you'll soon see the art of false teaching is still alive and well in today's world. So we have an issue that Peter has pointed out, this false teaching. And he regards it as a danger to people who may be drawn away from the truth. So as we come across these false truths as well, sometimes we may begin to wonder, well, am I still on that firm foundation? Am I being pulled away into false teachings? Well, the good news is Peter started verse 18 with the word but. Not much assurance, is it? Reassurance. But you see, what's happening here is that Peter has been talking about a problem and a danger, and then he's like, okay, here's the problem, here's the danger, but here's the solution. Here's the answer, right? So verse 18 is actually an answer to that problem. Isn't that nifty? That's great. And if the problem back then is the same as the problem today, the answer that he gave back then is exactly the same for us today. That's great news. So Peter's saying that growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus is a counter to things like false teachings. And it all starts with that word, but. Well, let's keep going and let's find out why he thinks it's a counter to things like false teachers. Now, when I come across a passage that, you know, may be a little bit of a challenge to really understand, I sometimes find that doing a little, well, what I call a word replacement exercise on it can help. And by that I mean you simply identify certain key words in the verse and then replace those words with other ones. You know, they may be a little simpler, but they still pertain to the general meaning of that particular verse. So I want to do that with verse 18. And then once we've done that, we can then look at how that verse, or what that verse now means in the light of that, and then apply it to our original verse. So when we have a look at verse 18, I identify three key words. Now, we're going to leave knowledge out for the moment in the rest of the verse. We're going to try and keep this as short as possible. So the three that I see are growth, are grow, grace, and Jesus. Now, the pivotal word out of those three, I think, is grow, because like it's grow in grace, right? So it's grow that's putting a different slant on grace. So my thought process then is, okay, well, what grows? Well, for me, the first thing I'd think of is plants, right? Plants grow. All right, well, what makes plants grow? You got water. You've got nutrients, you've got sunlight. Ah, sunlight. Remember, one of the words we were wanting to replace is Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's do something with that. So, grow in the light, makes sense. Grow in the light of the sun. Okay, so let's replace grace with light and Jesus with sun. So let's now have a look at what that, well, it's just a sentence now really rather than a verse, isn't it? But let's have a look and see what it says. So it says, but grow in the light of the sun. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? We already know plants grow in the light of the sun. So let's elaborate a little bit more on what that verse now says to us. So when we look at that, we can say that the light originates from the sun, can't we? That's pretty obvious. We then can say that the light shines on all plants and then starts a process in those plants that encourages them to grow. And then those plants can produce flowers, they can produce fruit, if that's the sort of plant that they are. Now that we've established those, the ways in which plants grow in the light, then how about we have a look at what it means to take a plant out of that light? So if we take a plant out of the light and put it in a shade, a shady area, for instance, then how's that plant going to grow? Well, it's not going to grow very well, is it? It's going to be stunted, it's going to be sickly, it's going to be weak. And a stunted, sickly, weak plant, we know, is going to be much more vulnerable to being overtaken by its environment. So if it experiences an extra hot day, if it experiences some bugs, some disease, for instance, then because it's already weak and sickly, chances are it's going to be overcome by those extra pressures around it. So let's now relate those things that we've discovered from that sentence back to our original verse. So first of all, we said that light originates from the sun. So if we take that back to our original verse, then we'd have to say that grace originates in Jesus, which it does, doesn't it? Because saving grace of God, if it wasn't for Jesus, there'd be no such thing. So God's grace originates in Jesus. The light, we said, then shines on all plants, encourages a process, enables them to grow. So our original verse would then mean that that grace shines on all people and encourages a process in them by which they can then grow spiritually. Now, just like we might take a plant from out of the sunlight and put it in the shade, then if we relate that also to our Christian walk, what that would mean is that as a Christian, if we are weak, if we are sickly in our spiritual life, then the pressures around us, false teachers, temptations, you know, they're going to be much more likely to overwhelm us. However, a healthy plant out in the sunlight, well, a healthy plant's going to be much more resilient, aren't they, to any other pressures around them. Just like a Christian who's healthy and active in their spiritual life. So they're going to be much more resilient to the worldly pressures that might come upon them as well. Okay, so where does all this leave us? Well, it shows us that God's grace comes to us through Jesus and that we're filled by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that actually initiates that spiritual growth within us. Without the Holy Spirit, that spiritual growth simply won't happen. And it's then that spiritual growth that'll maintain in us a strong and resilient spiritual life, enabling us to resist the pressures of the world. And so I think this is why Peter wrote what we might call verse 18 as an answer to what he had just been talking about. Because people who are resilient in their faith will much more likely be able to withstand false teachers, as I've just said, temptations, etc. And I think that's what Peter was getting at, that it's this process of growing in your faith that makes us strong. So all those things, though, that I've been talking about are just words on a piece of paper, aren't they? So what about some real world stuff, stuff that we can actually apply to our lives, you know? Like, what does it mean to be weak in our faith? What causes those things? What can cause things to grow our faith and to be strong and resilient in our faith? Well, we're going to have a look at some of those. So the first thing we're going to look at is something that I'd call growth blockers. Things that hamper our spiritual growth that might make us sickly and weak in our faith. So first of all, it's lack of knowledge. Now, even though I put knowledge kind of on the back burner, yet Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge. It's not an or, it's an and knowledge. So he realizes that knowledge is important, just like growing in grace is important. And it stands to reason when you think about it. For instance, if you really don't have much of a grip on what the Bible says, you know, who Jesus really was, who he claimed to be, if there's no real knowledge of salvation or sin or redemption or any of those things, if someone comes to you and tells you something, what do you draw a comparison from? You've got nothing to draw from. So you simply say, well, that sounds good to me. Okay, well, good. That's, I think, what Peter was saying. People are in danger of being drawn away because of one of these elements, which is lack of knowledge. Time, traditions, and ruts. So time, that's our agendas. You know, it's my time and I'm going to use it as I want to. Traditions are all those things that, you know, we've been doing in the past and we're going to do them in the future because we've been doing them in the past, right? That's what we want to do. We think they're so valuable. And ruts are those things that we've been doing and we now know all there is to know about them and we feel comfortable doing them. We're not going to not do them because we don't want to feel uncomfortable, right? Time, traditions, and ruts. You know, when we allow those sorts of things into our life, when we allow those things to control our lives, how on earth is the Holy Spirit ever going to grow anything valuable in our life? Because we've already got it all set out, haven't we? We already know our future. Our future comes from our past. Our traditions. Our future are those ruts. We're not going to get out of that rut, so that's our future. Or our time is our time. That's our future. The Holy Spirit finds it difficult to work and grow things in our life that he wants to if we already have that mindset of where we're going. It just doesn't work. As Christians, if we want that growth in our life, and every Christian should, then we have to realise that sometimes growing is uncomfortable. Sometimes growing is inconvenient. I mean, just ask a teenager, right? I'll soon tell you. Number three, pride and disobedience. So I've separated pride out from general disobedience because pride is always such a big one, such an insidious one as well. Because pride is all about our image. And yet, if we look at growing in the grace of Jesus, it's really about growing in the image of God. So if we're more concerned about growing our image, we're never going to be able to grow in the image of God, are we? And then general disobedience, well, there's a three-letter word that sums all that up, isn't there? It's sin. And I mean, sin already separates us from God. That's what condemnation and judgment is all about. So if we're continuing to allow that sin in our life, it's causing a separation between us and the Holy Spirit. How can the Holy Spirit grow stuff in our life if he's separated from us by sin? So pride and disobedience can make us stunted and weak in our faith. It's like we're taking ourselves out of the light and putting ourselves in the shade. Okay, so we've touched on some blockers. Let's touch on some boosters, things that will keep our spiritual life healthy and vigorous and vital and resilient. Well, first of all, make God's word a priority. Now, Rangeville, in its constitution, says that the Bible is completely trustworthy. And I mean, what a great place to start. The Bible, completely trustworthy. That gives us a firm foundation on which to grow. If you have a plant in a garden and someone comes along and says, no, that's wrong, it needs to be planted over there, so you pull it out and you put it over there, and someone else comes along and says, no, that's wrong, it's got to be over there, so you pull it out and put it over there, how on earth is that poor old plant ever going to grow? It's never going to grow. It's going to be stunted. It's going to be sickly. It's going to be weak. It needs a firm, solid foundation so that growth can take place. So it is with us. So it is with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We need that solid foundation, and that solid foundation is based on Scripture. So in our lives, the very first step in this to get an active, healthy, spiritual life is by saying, I believe the Bible is completely trustworthy. And then if we're saying that it's completely trustworthy, if we're saying that the Bible is a priority in our life, how many of us say that and yet the Bible gathers dust on a shelf somewhere? What sort of priority is that? It's not a priority, is it? I mean, if we're making God's word a priority, we need to be reading Scripture. We need to be studying Scripture. We need to be allowing the Holy Spirit to take everything that we're learning and to apply it, to grow it in our life, so that our thoughts begin to change, our actions begin to change. That's what growing is all about. It involves change, doesn't it? Number two, pray regularly. Well, regular prayer opens communication between us and God. And as that happens, God begins to align our will with His. False teachers always want to align God's will with ours. But as we have that open communication with Him, the Holy Spirit is able to work in and through us. The Holy Spirit is able to convict us of things in our life that may be blocking that growth. Like I've touched on, point three, pride and disobedience. The Holy Spirit can convict us of those things. And when He does, we can then confess those things, get them out of our life, so they're no longer a blocker to the Holy Spirit's growth in our life. And number three, pursue Christ-like characteristics. Growing in the grace of Jesus, as I've said, is growing in the image of God, growing in the image of Jesus. And growth isn't an accident. Growth doesn't just happen. I mean, our first two points, you know, Bible study, for instance, and prayer, they don't just happen, do they? The Holy Spirit doesn't do our homework for us, unfortunately, but it takes effort on our part to actually allow the Holy Spirit to grow those things. And so we need to make the effort to also grow in the image of Jesus, which is pursuing those Christ-like characteristics. And what are they? They're the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. So we need to be actively pursuing those. Don't expect them just to rock up on the doorstep one day. We need to be actively pursuing them and allowing the Holy Spirit to grow them in our life, because when that happens, our spiritual life becomes strong and resilient. Number four, saving the biggest to last. Practice God's grace. Practice God's grace. What God gives us, He always wants us to pass on. You know, in the Lord's Prayer this morning that we said, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. In other words, God's forgiving us our sins, but He expects us to forgive others. Grace is no different. God shows us His grace. He expects us to pass on that grace to others. He may not expect us to do that at the same level He shows us. That's why Peter talks about growing. You know, we may start off small, but if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to grow these things in our life, then we expect that, you know, maybe I can only show grace to a certain few small number of people. But as time goes on, as the Holy Spirit grows that in your life, it'll be more and more and more. That's what growing is all about. That's what we need to be pursuing as Christians. So growing in the grace of Jesus. I guess it can be summarized as increasing in the image and favor of God. And you know, Peter presents this as an answer to a particular problem that he had encountered. Which is true, and it's the same for us today, as I mentioned earlier. But as you go through this, you begin to realise it's much, much more than that. It's something that we need to be involved in. This growth needs to be part of our life every single day. And it's a temptation that we get to a point in our life where we go, growing? No, that's all back then, you know. I've had enough of that growing business. Except in our little summary, it says increasing in the image of God. God is eternal. Increasing in the image of God, shouldn't that mean that it's eternal as well? Which means that there is no age barrier. We need to continually be growing, allowing the Holy Spirit to produce that growth in our life, no matter the age that we are. And I mean, it's so beneficial. Who wants to be fooled by false teaching, right? Who wants to be overcome by the world's tragedies with something virtually minor, but because we have a weak and sick faith, it overwhelms us? We want to be strong because a growing faith is a healthy faith. And a healthy faith is one that can endure those tough times. A healthy faith is one that can resist those temptations of life as well. Folks, I'd like to take a few moments now, as we always do in Rangeville at that time. There's two questions on screen, the same ones, and I'd like us just to spend a little bit of time reflecting on those. What did God say to me today? And what will I do with what I've heard? And then I'll close in prayer. Father, may you help us in our lives to recognize those signs, that we may be living a life that's become stunted in its spiritual growth. As the light naturally encourages a plant to grow, so Holy Spirit, you naturally desire each of us to grow spiritually. Help us to recognize those things that we might be allowing into our lives that may be blocking your growth. Place upon our heart a willingness to hand over those things to you, that you might deliver us from them. And may you start in us a fresh, strong, resilient faith, a growing faith that can weather the things that life would throw against us. Jesus, may you always shine the light of grace upon our lives, that we might continue to grow in your image and in the favour of God. Amen. Folks, if the Lord has placed something upon your heart this morning, then the prayer teams will be out front as usual. There will be no children's prayer group for healing, so if you have that need, please see the prayer group out here as well. Of course, if you're able to, please hang around for a little while, fellowship over some tea and coffee. That'll be out the front as usual. But now I would like to just close with a benediction, a blessing over us all. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Have a great week, folks.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.